Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, God damn it, Sam.
Oh, God.
That part's coming out.
Yep. 10 seconds
no
of silence.
There's no fucking way that it's going to be left in.
Nope. Nope. No fucking way.
If you have something to say right now, you might as well say it. Welcome to the Beer and Loathing Podcast. We're coming back from a long hiatus. For whatever reason, we just stopped doing podcasts. But anyway, welcome and thank you for joining us. My name's Pete M. I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm joined, of course, by Matt Dog 2020 and Sam Sly out in Denver. And today we also have our friend Ryan Hannigan from Colorado as well. So everybody say hello.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello.
And what's everybody drinking one at a time? We'll start with Ryan.
I'm finishing up the Reboot White IPA from Boulevard Brewing. I've got a couple sips left, and then I've got something else from Utah next.
Cool. How many beers do you have on deck currently?
Just waiting in the wings?
Yeah.
I've got this Crooked Line from Uinta, and a Super Juice solution from a local brewery here in town, like 40 ounces of alcohol.
40 ounces
to freedom, baby.
Oh, you beat me to it.
Gotta be fast here, Matthew.
Gotta be fast. Gotta be on the ball.
What are you drinking, Matt?
I am drinking a half quart of, quote, truly mild Rainier beer.
Whoa.
Rainier for life, it says, in the Winter Jubilee can. It's, an old dial-esque, PBR-esque beer, and though it is named after a mountain in Washington State, it is based in Irwindale, California. So I've got a sixer of that.
Sam, what are you drinking?
I am currently having a Woodcut number 7, named Russian Aristotle from last year by Odell.
Damn. Yeah. I feel like I need to get something out that's good. I've just been slamming old styles.
I've been trying to kill my cellar, which is just a box marked fragile. And
we killed a lot of my cellar on Friday.
Yeah, we did. It was a good time. I think I killed a lot of my brain cells on Friday from your cellar. Dude, that drive back from your house was the worst 65 miles I've ever driven in my life. So.
Did you drive back the next day, Sam, or that night?
Yeah, No, there's no way I could have driven back that night. That was... Ryan was sleeping at the bar by the time that night was really closing up. So.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. The fact that we even went down to the bar was the worst idea in the world, though.
Yeah, I don't know whose idea that was, but that was... I think it was
That was Mike from Paradox Beer Company. That's his idea.
Well, bless his heart, because he drove, right?
Yeah, somehow.
I'm going to keep sticking to the fantasy I worked up in my head that he hadn't been drinking that much and was good to go, so...
He was off in the corner most of the night and actually wasn't drinking very much.
That's good. I'm glad that my brain was at least picking that up, so...
I think we should do one of those up here, probably.
What's up there?
I said we should do one of those up here.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I don't know if we could do the scale, though. He had, half the city of Colorado Springs come through his house at one point that night.
Holy Christ.
I got a decent-sized apartment.
And, that's true.
You know, I know, four people.
I don't have a huge house, though. It was crazy.
Yeah, his house is not...
So, Ryan, you want to plug your blog? Tell us where you're from and what you're doing.
So, I write for Focus on the Beer down here in Colorado Springs. We're just I guess we say we're a regional beer blog. We do everything Castle Rock South. And I say we, and there's two of us writing. So it is a we, but it really isn't at a lot of times. We write about beer. We enjoy beer. We host fun parties. We host Meet the Brewer events at our friend's place, Front Range Barbecue, who I'm actually going to go over there after this. They're having a pajama party. Matt and Sam came down and went to one of those a couple months ago.
That was a good time. I'd like to do another one.
Indeed.
Do you just sit around in your pajamas and drink beer? Is it just pretty much self-explanatory when you say that? That's kind of what I'm picturing.
Oh, yeah. No.
this tonight is a pajama and underwear party, so I'm hoping the women come in underwear. And then I will come in pajamas and be fine.
I would totally go in underwear. I would go in like a leopard print thong.
Ditto.
Yeah, but it's sleeting out right now, so...
Perfect, even better. I just wear ski boots then.
Ski boots? Like ruffled, feathered ski boots. And then leopard print thong.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He'd still have the thong on, but just he'd add the boots for a little bit of...
protection, man.
Flair.
Like the boots that Lloyd Christmas wears in Dumb and Dumber. Those big, feathery boots.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like moon boots?
Kind of like moon boots, but with fringe. Yeah.
With fringe.
Yeah, with lots of fringe.
Pete believes in the fringe.
But Pete has such like beautiful feminine hips too.
Oh,
I think that he would have
childbearing hips.
He could easily. A doe could come out of him. No problem.
I know that picture he sent us before the last trivia show. I'm not surprised that might have been a doe.
Oh. Are you sure that you did not have,
Yeah, before we did an episode of Shut Up and Drink, which may or may not be aired, I was giving birth to a food baby, and and Matt asked if he said Pixar didn't happen, I said, ask and ye shall receive, and he definitely got a picture of it. Like, I just filled the bowl with shit. That's all it was. Like, there was no more water left in the toilet.
Except for Matt just didn't receive it, because I was on that group text, so I received it as well.
Well,
yeah, Sam was just an innocent bystander.
Oh,
I didn't even know Matt was egging him on. I was like, hey, what's this? Oh, Jesus!
Well, and I heard you say, oh, Jesus.
You need some more cheese or something, Pete. Bind that shit up.
It was very loose.
I was in rare form that day. That was awful. So you got the worst of it for sure. But
I remember you overhearing you telling Lee to not go into the bathroom for a while.
Yeah, that did happen.
I definitely had to warn her. I didn't want her to go in there and die.
Yep.
So you're not drinking any Trinity beers, Ryan?
Oh, that's what the Super Juice solution is. It's a Trinity.
Oh, okay. All right, it's a Trinity.
He just wasn't giving him any. Unnecessary plugs at this point, apparently.
Yeah.
No, they don't need to be plugged.
Not really. I mean, not in Denver and Colorado Springs area. People know plenty about them right now, as it is.
No, actually, today, Odd 13 up there in Denver named them, tied with Funkworks, as the best brewery of 2014.
Really? So he must have been super pleased about that.
Yeah, but it was just a personal decision. It wasn't a vote.
So just to recap, what happened with that, Ryan?
Yeah, just give a little bit of background because
let's give it a little context here.
Nobody really knows.
Yeah, it's sort of a local thing, but so essentially, during the month of November, Focus on the Beer put on a best of beer voting contest, popularity contest. It's like student council for adults, essentially,
which is very common. I mean, we see those all the time out here in like Denver. I mean, there was. The news stations out here are doing a vote for your favorite brewery type thing. You know what I mean? It's not unheard of.
Every single newspaper seems like that's what they do. And they use it as a way to garner more advertising dollars because, hey, if you're the best of in the so-and-so's post, you're going to probably advertise in that post because you know that the readers of that newspaper like what you do. So... for them, usually it's an advertising thing. For us, it was more like we were trying to just do a sort of an awareness campaign to sort of let people know about all the fun, cool places that are craft beer in Colorado Springs. And so we awarded an award for best barrel-aged beer. And the voters gave first place to Paradox Beer Company out of Woodland Park. They gave second place to Nano 108 Brewing, which is in Colorado Springs off of Powers Boulevard. And they give third place to Trinity Brewing off of Garden of the Gods. And essentially, there was nothing that anyone said until about an hour and a half after I had put it on Twitter. And then what we assume the owner of Twitter, owner of Trinity, got on Twitter. The owner of Trinity got on Twitter. We all assumed that's what happened. They through the Trinity Twitter account, they tweeted at Focus on the Beer saying, LOL question mark.
And just to be clear, there wasn't actually a physical award being handed out here. It was just simply an announcement.
I might do, like, little, you know, printed off placards.
Yeah, like a certificate of victory.
At some point, but there's no medal, there's no trophy. This is just like what the people have voted. And so I, of course, you know, it was actually last Wednesday when I released it. And Wednesdays are deadline days for me at the Colorado Springs Business Journal where I work. And so it's a crazy busy day. And so I see that it pops up on my phone. I go, all right, what's going on here? And so they tweeted back, how about what a joke? So instantly I'm going, all right, these guys are totally like, they're just, they feel like they've been dissed. I'm like, all right, I don't want to try to inflame the situation at all. And so then I just put it out there. I'm like, this is where people voted. We didn't choose anything. It was just votes from the community. And then I, of course, did a hashtag democracy in action.
Ha! Because and that's, you know, when things got weird.
And that's when Trinity decided that they wanted to say some things about the intellect of Colorado Springs and about how things like this guarantee that they are moving to Denver. That was their last tweet before about Saturday or Sunday. And this was on Wednesday. And at that point, Colorado Springs, at least the Twitter followers in Colorado Springs, exploded against Trinity.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, that's when, I think it was maybe Thursday or so, you even mentioned it to me, and I'm like, huh? And
did they delete their tweets at all? Or did they just keep them up there?
They left them up there.
Oh,
they
wow, yeah.
And the thing is that, you know, even, like a lot of people have walked up to me, you know, knowing that I'm the one that's behind the blog, and saying, you know, you didn't do anything wrong. I'm like, no, I didn't. I awarded them an award. But also, at the same point, you know, they tweeted and then they didn't say anything in context. So they said these things and they didn't clarify.
And then so, anyone who, like, spoke out and, like, criticized them for, you know, being like, hey, I mean, I think I might have even seen one as simple as, are you guys, you know, seriously, you know, being pissy about this, and they get blocked, you know? Anyone that kind of had any sort of dissent was blocked from Trinity's, you know, Twitter, whatever.
Oh my god, that is so fucking childish. That is so childish.
Over a popularity vote, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
Over free popularity contest.
Then on Thursday and Friday, both the Colorado Springs Independent, which is our local free paper, our sort of our alternative newspaper, which is the sister paper to the Business Journal that I work for, they grabbed a hold of the story, and all of a sudden, more people are talking to me. I'm like, how do you know about this? Like, this is just like a Twitter thing. They grabbed a hold of it, and the local daily paper grabbed a hold of it as well. And Things just sort of spiraled out of control. Although the last 2 days, I've had the blog mentioned on the front page of the daily paper, and I was mentioned on the second section first page today. So I'm like, all right, well, you know, it's more coverage, but you know, all in all, it was the owner of Trinity Brewing ends up, he doesn't get along with a lot of people. He's an incredibly intelligent person, but he doesn't have a whole lot of social skills, from what I can tell. His employees do an incredible job. You know, they've been told, you know, people say, like, oh, they have horrible service. Well, when you've got a guy that seems a little off his rocker at the helm, you know, it's tough for those people to do their jobs. I've always heard that people had horrible service there. I personally never had bad service there. I feel like the people know what they're doing. They know the beers that they're serving. They know what food they're serving. Everything's been just spot on. It's just a personal altercation with the head brewer guy. That's the gist of the story. He apologized through the local daily yesterday.
Quote unquote apologized.
That's why I was in the paper today, is because I said that it wasn't really an apology, but then they decided to cut off half of my quote, and also the half that said that the newspapers basically made a mountain out of a molehill, they decided to cut out. But, you know, that's media. You know, everyone's always going to be cutting and copying things to meet their own sort of direction and which way they want their media to go. And I'm happy that our blog, you know, we started out and we ended this whole thing basically saying, you know, we gave third place to Trinity Brewing. We didn't try to slather them with bad press. We didn't try to do anything negative towards them. We just gave them an award that the people in Colorado Springs voted on.
I think the thing that's overall funny to me and what just really struck me about it was it's just ridiculous. It's like, all right, is he really that bad with business and PR or he's that egotistical where, all right, third place in a, you know, a popular vote, which, you know, isn't, and not to say that, I'm not trying to downplay a popular vote, but it's just like, all right, so this really didn't have any physical outcome other than, all right, so here's what people think, and I don't know. It all goes
back to, like, I mean, everyone's been in high school, and there's always student council voting, and you're sitting there, and you're voting for your friend or whatever, or whoever, and then the results come out, and you're like, oh, they lost completely, and you're like, how did that happen? And you're outraged for a day or two, and then you realize, you know what, whatever. The other person is still sort of my friend, too, so let's just get on with things. Excuse me. Get on with things, and just, you know, it's life, whatever. And so I hope that this actually, like, gets mulled under at some point.
I'm sure it will. I mean, it's... You know, everyone, like, when I was down at the party, everyone there was still saying, like, you know, it's pretty stupid. It's really ridiculous how, you know, where it's gone and how, you know, the owner's been reacting, how, you know, how he handled it. But at the same time, like, they're still probably going to drink their beer. And I think that was kind of what struck me was, like, either the community is super tight down there or the beer's really good or a little bit of both. Because everyone's like, yeah, I mean, we're not going to not go there, but... Shit, man. Pull your act together.
Well, a lot of people are like, you know, their beer is really good, but, you know, a lot of things that the themes that, like, the Brewers Association has been putting forth this past year and in subsequent years, essentially is that people want to know their brewer. They want to meet the person behind the beer that they drink.
Sure.
And that's becoming the big theme, is that people want to meet the people that have their fingers in the beer that they enjoy, and they want to know the you know, inspiration behind it. They want to know what went into making that beer. And when things like this happen, to where it is, you know, essentially the person in charge of the beer that you love basically slaps you in the face going, hey, I think you're stupid.
Swears off an entire community, pretty much.
Right. And the thing is that with this place, there's been a lot of people that have had issues with the brew pub itself. And the problem with what this turned out to be, by being publicized through multiple news outlets, is that it gave every single person that had one bad experience a voice.
Yeah. And it kind of magnified it, too, if I'm being honest.
It put it way out of proportion. You know, there's the people that may have been working there 2 years ago when you went there and had a bad experience might not work there anymore. You know, it might be, they're probably not working there anymore. Their managers probably figured that out and didn't, you know, either sent them on their way or fixed whatever the problem was. And so taking one person's assessment of what he thought was a, you know, funny outcome of a voting thing, and expanding that towards an entire community and how people treat one business, is a little bit of an overreaction.
Yeah. I think it also struck me is, and I mean, it happens in good and bad instances, and I mean, I would say, you know, people reacting to some bad PR reactions appropriately is not a bad thing, but I feel like... a lot of, in the craft beer industry right now, there's a lot of knee-jerk reactions to stuff instead of being like, all right, it was said, you know, there's some context that might have been missing there, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it turns into a mini outrage. I don't know if you feel the same way, given the circumstances or not, but I thought it was an interesting little localized example of that, of just a little, like a little mushroom cloud went off. And,
well, no, exactly. And the thing about it is that, like, we are such a volatile, growing industry as the craft beer people that when something little happens, everybody freaks out. It's ridiculous. And half the people are not people that would classify themselves as either craft beer nerds or craft beer drinkers. They just like beer, and they went there because it's a brewery. This sort of continues the, like, quest that sort of the Brewers Association has been working on, is to just sort of educate everybody in the whole beer culture about what craft beer is. And that's the tough thing, is that, you know, we've had macro beer basically running the scene for years and years and years, to where people go to a craft beer bar and they're like, well, you don't have Coors Light, so you have nothing I like. People need to sort of, I think people, A, need to get a thicker skin, but also need to realize that, yes, there is a little bit more education that comes into drinking some of these lesser-known styles.
It's not just an instant gratification thing. And, I mean, I can speak from my own experience as I've learned to drink craft beer. It's a lot of times I'll like a style of beer a lot more after I've learned more about it. Like, you know, my stance with most sours and...
Oh, you hate it. I remember dragging you around to every place in GABF, and Sam and Sam, you would just like, and Pete and Matt would be like, all right, let's do it.
I drank like half to three quarters of those sours you were bringing out, but but the thing is, the more I learn about the different strains, like, you know, the lacto and the Brett, and honestly, like, a really great example is 5 years ago, I hated barrel-aged beers because I hated bourbon and I hated whiskey. And even the smell of the faintest smell of whiskey in my beer would make me gag. And since now, they are one of my favorite styles. And it's kind of, the more I learn about it and how it affects the beer, and honestly sack up a little bit, and how I can drink whiskey, kind of. But, you know, I think that's the progress of someone's palate and knowledge of stuff that is what needs to be taught to new craft beer fans. That's how they, you know, they're not going to go in and not necessarily understand it, and maybe not like it because they don't understand it. So,
yeah, it really comes down to kind of a respect thing at that point. It sounds like you're saying that, you know, once you, like, understand what went into it, like, oh, yeah, we aged this shit in bourbon barrels for, I don't know, a year. Wow, yeah. You had a really complex style, and then you went ahead and aged it in really rare bourbon barrels for a long time. Like, that demands respect on its own.
Well, that, and then you start to also be able to pick out, all right, so not only you're getting a little bit of the bourbon flavor in there, but, you know, if you have just maybe a straight oak barrel versus a bourbon oak barreled beer, you can start kind of pick out little differences here and there and understand the subtleties. Like, you know, honestly, like with bourbon barrel beers, a lot of them, it adds a little bit extra sweet kick to them, and, you know, there's a bunch of different nuances, and everyone's palate's different. But my point, you know, kind of what Ryan was saying, is that, you know, the Brewers Association is trying to educate more people, and I just think that a lot of people would benefit by knowing it's a progress. You know, you're not going to wake up one day and be like, I get craft beer. It's a fucking process.
So this might be kind of a naive question, but this fervor, is this unique to craft beer? The interaction that the community has, the non-brewing community has with brewers, where Ryan said earlier that drinkers want to meet the makers of the beer that they're drinking. I don't feel the same impetus necessarily, nor do I feel the same impetus if I'm eating a tomato and I want to meet the person that grew it. Like, what is the difference?
I think that's actually what is happening, is that our culture as a whole, like, human race, you know, we've globalized ourselves so much that people are trying to sort of localize themselves a little bit more. They want to find out where their food comes from. They don't want to, you know, so as an example, my dad runs a community foundation here in town that runs a farm. And they bring school kids to the farm, and they get off the bus, and they ask the kids, the first question is, what did you have for breakfast? So some of the kids go, I had eggs and bacon. And they go, great, where did that come from? And a lot of kids go, Safeway.
Yeah.
So they go, you know what, that's, yes, they did, but do you know where that food came from before it went to the supermarket? And a lot of times they're greeted with blank stares. And so what they'll do is they'll take these kids that don't know anything. They don't know anything about farming. They don't know anything about agriculture. They'll walk them over to the chickens, and they'll let them actually grab a freshly laid egg. And they go, this is an egg. This is where your scrambled eggs came from.
Mm-hmm.
Our whole society has a whole disconnect from where we get our nutrients and our pleasures. You know, like, the whole thing about beer is that, like, forever it was Budweiser made it, and those horses brought it in, and, you know, all that fun stuff. And so as soon as craft brewing caught hold, you know, people wanted to see, you know, they want to see the brew house. That's why when you go to any craft brewery, they have a glass window where you can look in and see the brew house.
Yep.
To really kind of back up your point, like, I follow a lot of brewers on Twitter just because I'm interested in seeing, you know, what they're saying, what they're doing, and, like, to get a feel for the guys that are making the beer I like to make. I mean, as much as a marketing person, I do like to identify with breweries and brewers that, you know, I share commonalities with, like guys that like to do shit I like to do, or they have, you know, quirky personalities. I like that stuff. And it's like, all right, if they're quirky in personality, their beer might match that. And, you know, that's interesting and fun to me in that sense.
Well, that, you know, that humanizes them. It makes them...
Yeah, somebody you can actually, like, relate to, as opposed to just somebody who's completely in shrouds.
Well, these big corporations that are owned, I mean, if you look at, like, Anheuser-Busch, they own companies in Mexico, they own companies, I mean, they're owned by InBev in Belgium, which also owns all these other, it's a huge conglomerate. And so, to that point, 10 Barrel Brewing in Bend, Oregon, just sold out to them. They have caught a whole lot of flack for basically, quote-unquote, selling out. But if you think about all of your, like, favorite bands that have just been just stringing together small tours and barely making records so that you can enjoy them, you know, I guess I'm going to come off sounding like I'm actually a fan of big beer.
You're in a safe place for that. Don't worry.
You're in a very safe place for that.
but for people listening, though, you know, the thing about it is that big beer is actually better for craft brewing than a lot of people think.
All right, you're in my head again, but keep going.
I'm going to break your brain here a little bit. So here's the thing is that if there wasn't a market share, there wouldn't be a market share to steal.
Right.
They have built the market to be as big as it is. And so for them to be losing market space to craft beer, it's a good thing because they have the market space. It's not like you're trying to create new market space. You're just taking taps away from Budweiser and from Coors and from Miller.
Yep.
Yeah, they make millions and billions and billions of dollars every year.
You know, the stats I just released for 2013, the beer industry as a whole is down like 1.9% of a $100 billion industry. Yet craft is up 17% or something, and, you know, they're gaining a lot in bits and pieces. And actually, you know, they're up by like 49% in import or exporting beer. It's a really strong market to be in. So exactly what you're saying is correct. It's just
right.
And the other point I had, though, that I think might kind of piggyback what you're saying is if big beer disappeared today, the industry would just collapse because there is so much fucking demand. Craft wouldn't be able to fill it. Prices would skyrocket. Shit would just fall apart.
There would be, and then on a philosophical note, there would be nothing against which to rally. You know, the only reason that Apple in the late 70s and early 80s had the sort of meteoric rise that it had is because it had IBM against which to pit itself. So these little guys need Goliaths.
Yeah, it's like the David versus Goliath.
Little guys need Goliaths. These little industries need Goliaths. And, you know...
But even to a point more like against, like, you know, we need that competition... What are the things that craft brewers need the most, other than customers and
raw materials?
They need the raw materials, exactly, Sam. And so the thing is that if you think about some of the favorite hops in the world, those have been created and have been hybridized because macro breweries have requested all of the hops that was already produced. And they're going to use an extract in their beer. They're not going to use straight hops.
Hell no.
Just for consistency.
But Miller Lite is triple hops brewed.
Yeah, there's three hop extracts in it.
No, there's three hop additions.
Is that what it is? I thought maybe there's three eye droplets of hop extract in every one, you know, however many fucking barrels batches they brew.
But getting back to that, you know, the global people, because of the expanse of their brewing operations and what they need in raw materials, they're basically going to provide this craft material, you know, segment of the beering industry. You know, there's craft hop producers now.
Yeah. No, and there's subsets.
Monsters.
A fucking, who is it? Lagunitas basically created a whole mini industry of grain growers for their suppliers, or for their supply, basically. You know, they weren't getting the supply they wanted. They weren't getting the quality of grain they wanted. So they worked with a bunch of grain growers in, like, Alberta, Canada. So to kind of take this in a whole other direction, what is your reaction to, you know, Anheuser-Busch buying up craft breweries now? I mean, so they started with Goose Island. Then there was Blue Point out of New York, which we Pete and I have a mutual friend who was – I mean, he's from New York, so he gets heated about everything. But he was super heated about Blue Point getting snatched up. And then they, just got 10-barrel recently. I mean
– well,
the whole thing is, like, I see people on the internet preaching that this is the end, this is they weren't even calling these breweries sellouts, really. It's just that, oh, now Anheuser-Busch is buying little breweries. They're going to ruin them. The quality is going to go down, and they're just going to, you know, sully their name and just try to get into space and trying to get into our sandbox, you know, their craft
sandbox. The thing that I don't like about – the only thing that I can say that I don't like about big InBev or Miller Coors or any other macro brew buying a smaller brew is that – usually breweries have the local mindset. So when you put money into the brewery, usually they'll put money back into the community. So if a larger conglomerate gets a hold of that brewery, it sort of loses its local focus, or at least a lot of people assume that it will, wrongly or rightly, assume that it will lose its local focus, that I'm going to put money into it and they're just going to suck it out of the community. It's like the Walmart phenomenon, you know?
So yeah. What if...
you come into a community and completely fucking drain it. I can see where people would get a little pissed off about that, but, I mean, you just kind of have to wait and see. Speaking of pissing, have you guys ever pissed on an airplane? Man, sometimes when you're by the window and you can't
there it
piss,
is.
It is.
That's the classic B&L transition right there. That's what I've been missing, man. We haven't had one of those in a long fucking time.
You're welcome. You are welcome.
God.
Pissing on an airplane is the worst thing in the world.
It is. You know what else is bad on airplanes? The beer. And I heard recently on Delta, they started...
you couldn't even get through it.
I can't even finish it. I heard on Delta, they're serving craft beer.
Thoughts? That is... what, Pete? What?
Is it real craft beer, or is it just like... labeled craft beer.
Is it just, you know, beer? Yeah, exactly. In
it's
a white can that says craft.
Yeah, it's just labeled craft. It doesn't even have a fucking brand name. The article says, actually, I'll just read from the article. It just says, Ballast Point, Blue Point, Brooklyn, Lagunitas, Newbury Point, Sam Adams, Boston Brewing Company, Stone, and Sweetwater.
Nice. That sounds like a fairly legit lineup.
That's pretty good.
I was going to say, Blue Point is clearly not craft anymore, so mixed. Yeah. I'm glad someone else picked up on that.
Also in the article, it says they don't know if they're going to be serving them out of mason jars. And I don't know. A lot of places in Denver serve craft beer in mason jars, because there is a place in Grand Rapids that serves their beer in mason jars, and it fucking pisses me off because those are the shittiest beverage vessels known to man.
Mason jars. Wasn't there an Always Sunny where they went to a bar that only served gin and tonics? And they were in mason jars.
They only served drinks, not gin drinks. Gin and tonics. It was only gin out of mason jars.
But they were in mason jars.
The
dude
who is the bad man who shushes.
The bad man who shushes. So, and you know, like most of my post-divorce glassware has been is empty glass peanut butter jars now. So
I actually just emptied out the threading out on top. Yeah, that had yeast in it. And I'm pretty sure the yeast is why this beer I have didn't turn out. And I retired it. It's now my new drinking glass. So, I don't think Denver has a lot of places that serve in mason jars, but it's one of those things that certain bars do to be cute. And all of the glass holes are like, that's not proper glassware. This is stupid as fuck. It's a hipster thing.
And it might I don't even give a fuck about the quality of the beer coming out of the mason jar. What I'm most concerned about is that there's threading on the top of it. So, like, you take a drink and it fucking spills on your face unless you, like, press
you don't know how to
super
drink.
Hard into the threading.
Do you not know how to drink?
Yes. I know how to drink, but...
The threading's on the outside. It's
you
not
open
the
your mouth and you pour a fucking glass full of liquid on your gullet.
Haven't you ever poured an entire jar of jelly into a sandwich?
Fuck jelly.
You're making very good points. Yeah,
jelly is
really
disgusting.
Really opening up my eyes.
Listen,
basically, is that the threads are on the outside. Your lips go on the outside as well. Just don't pick a spot where the threads overlap slightly.
Pete's got those thin little bird lips. That's the problem. He just can't lock down and make a seal.
He does.
Are fucking thick like my thigh. Okay.
No, you're dude.
He's got
Pete,
the Paris Hilton duck lips.
You have little tiny like thin lemon lips, and you're
whatever. You have the lips of Rabbit and Super Troopers. Just
you do.
Admit it. You couldn't suck down syrup if it was to save your life.
Sam and I and
we're not on,
Ryan,
we're not on video right now.
We have beautiful lips, the three of us.
Fucking turn on my video so you can see my awesome.
You could see your lips because it's underneath a giant mustache and beard.
Exactly, that's why you don't think I have any lips.
That's why, oh, that's, your beard ate them?
I'm gonna, you know what, I'm gonna privately Facebook message Lee and ask her what she thinks about your lips.
Please do.
Yeah.
I do lug this this article though from Times because
Times magazine
from whatever Times.
Times.
Good old Times magazine.
The Times.
Times.
The
magazine.
Times. The Times are telling. No, I just like this because for one, I can't tell if they were actually just making a joke and no one got it. Because if that's the case, you know, the time has finally resorted to the point of they have to troll an industry to like get any sort of relevance and reaction, because I saw several people that were just furious over this article, and I just thought it was hilarious. I didn't realize beer on airplanes was not cool.
What I gleaned from it was that she had read like she wasn't the first person to put this out. Like, she had read other articles, and people were probably pissed off about it, just being really smug or something. I don't know. That's what I gleaned from it. Like, she just heard a lot of negative reaction because of it, and she was like, why the fuck does anybody care about it? Like, it's crap here on a plane. Who gives a shit?
I mean, they're probably going to charge $10 for it, so no one's going to buy it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, but people have been drinking, like, Bloody Marys and other things on planes for years.
Yeah, that's true.
But in like 3 ounce quantities. So maybe it's that people are requesting a higher quantity of their craft beer.
Dude, you can't even get a full Sprite on the fucking airplane. You think they're gonna give you a full like craft beer? Like, all right, sir, here's
Wait,
your.
So my
yeah, I feel
my,
like
my
I won the fucking lottery when they ask
my
if I had
ounce
the can.
Beer in Nevada is gonna cost me $11.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming.
Okay, done.
I'm just guessing. All right, fair enough. If you're into it, then that's fine. I just think it's funny that there was this much outrage over a stupid ass fucking. That thing couldn't have been more than 250, maybe 300 words too. It was short.
In Time?
In length.
No, in Time magazine though.
Yeah, in Time. Not the Times. In Time.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, it was. I don't know if it was actually published in the physical magazine. It was on their website.
Oh, okay. It might have been one of their little words.
I don't know if they have a, you know, a difference of what they put the print versus online there. So
yeah, who knows?
I don't read actual paper publications, so if it's not online, I don't know about it.
Oh, did you guys hear about Founders?
I don't know enough about the brewery that is investing in them to really know.
They do Amstel Light.
That's beer.
That's as big as they get?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
But they're a huge, they're as big, at least volume-wise, as Molson Coors.
Yeah, they're like the biggest like conglomerate in Spain, but I mean, as far as the beers that reach America, I think Amstel Light is their
biggest. Yeah, and I think the owner of that company is like in the top 5 billionaires in the world, so they're huge.
All right, so it warrants some pretty conversation.
Big. Yeah.
But did they buy the entire?
No, 30%. 30% stake.
A private stock. Stake. Yeah.
Well, so essentially, what that allows Founders to stay is they stay as a craft brewery. Because if you look at the Brewers Association's requirements,
I have not read any of those, so enlighten me.
The majority has to be independently owned.
Okay, so they do remain craft, and I only saw really one tweet that called them out as they've gone from craft to crafty, which, according to what we're talking about right now, is not actually true.
Right, I'm pretty sure that they're still craft, not crafty.
Yeah. I know Pete and I talked about this earlier today. I think it's a good thing. I personally support Founders, and Ryan, I've already told you how big of a fanboy I am of theirs, you know, being how I lived in proximity to their brewery for a number of years. But I don't see a problem here. You know, they still have clearly a majority share of their business.
Well, this actually ties in really well with the whole 10 Barrel thing being bought by InBev.
Yeah.
Essentially, the fact is, like, 10 Barrel was like, hey, you know what? Our beer making is still going to stay with the same people. Same people are going to make beer. Same people are going to make the beer recipes. It's just now we have a lot more money behind us.
Yeah, you have a massive safety net.
I actually read a really good quote somewhere that they said, like, we're not that great in the business side. Now we got some guys that know what the fuck to do with business.
Right.
And I'm like, actually, I can't argue with that. That's a very astute point that I would not have actually taken into consideration. They can brew the beer really well. Now they got guys that can do the other part of it well.
Well, that's the thing. Is a lot of these craft brewers and these small nano breweries, they don't know what business is. You know, half of them don't understand what marketing or they don't have the means to actually market themselves the way that they probably should be doing.
Yeah.
And now that they have a backing behind them of people going, even if they only own 30%, like with Founders, there's still that backing to where they go, hey, you guys want to expand to Germany? Let's do it.
And I will argue that Founders clearly knew what they were doing on business, because you don't erupt from, 30 to 45,000 barrels to, God damn, I mean, I feel like after this last expansion, they were supposed to be able to clear 130,000 barrels. They know what they're doing business-wise, but that's one more indicator of why this isn't a bad business decision for them, because they're not a bunch of idiots just like, we're riding the wave. They've been there, man. You know, they've right. been in the bad times and the good times.
Well, the thing is, they've repeatedly said that their focus, first off, is to expand their distribution to all 50 states.
Which I am fully in support of.
And then it will go internationally. And by having this conglomerate that has a little bit of a piece of your pie, it gives you connections.
Yeah.
To all these other distributors and all the other places to where you need your beer into every single state.
Yeah, and like I said, like in the stats I was reading from the Brewers Association is how much of an increase the imports are at whatever, 45-49%, that's just gonna keep going up. You know, the demand is going to keep going. To establish a partner now is a brilliant plan. That's a great way to ensure, all right, so we have these guys in this area of the world. We can just get in there. You know, we know people. We actually probably should wrap up, because this has been a great talk. Do not get me wrong. But
there might be an East Coaster here that needs to go to bed, probably.
I still need to eat.
Fucking Michiganders. And I also am about to, my bladder's about to explode.
Yeah.
I should have peed when I had the chance.
Actually, that's going to be Sam's autobiography title.
That might be rivaling Sam versus the State of Michigan. That's...
Yeah. I actually think Sam versus the State of Michigan is a subtitle to the other one.
I should have peed when I had
a chance.
Sam versus the State of
Colon, Sam versus the State of Michigan.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. I think it
works
both ways.
Yeah, it could go either way, honestly.
It could go either way.
I just want to say thanks, Ryan/Matt, even though I called you Matt at the beginning of this podcast. Thank you for being on the podcast with us, and thanks for your insight. And sorry shit blew up with Trinity there. That's pretty crazy. That's just a crazy story in general. But I just want to say thanks for being on the podcast.
I agree with Pete, man. That was really good thoughts and insights. It's probably the most thoughtful, peer-focused podcast we've probably ever had.
Yeah. So we thank you, and we hope everybody's enjoyed listening to it.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, I've listened to all the podcasts from beforehand, and you know, it's sort of nice to be a part of one.
It's good to hear.
Especially since you've actually listened, it's super nice to have someone on board that's been a fan. So that's the best compliment I think we could have at this point.
I'm glad that our one listener is on the show consistently.
Robot Matt is. Yeah. Robot Matt's broken up. He can't even put words together.
That 3PO just chimed in, and his processor malfunctioned.
Yeah.
My penis is tearing up, boys. That's how I am.
You should run, buddy. Go pee pee now.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time. This has been Beer and Loathing's podcast. Kind of encapsulated our ideals, though, in regard to beer. For the most part.
Yes and no.
Don't be Ahab.
Don't be Ahab just to be Ahab. You said my Chinese thing sounded racist. That sounds like a racist thing.
Ahab?
I didn't say fucking Arab. I said Ahab.
Ahab is the guy that's chasing the white whale in Moby Dick. Come on, Captain Ahab.
I know.
When did Jason Yester join this conversation?
It's just like Wuthering Heights. Come on. You know about these.
Wuthering Heights. Oh, yeah.
I'm never saying that book's name ever again, so fuck off.